Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Susan, just like it was last week. It is so good to see you. Things are a little different this week. You might notice that we have no mics. We don't need mics.
Yeah, we're
that good. Yeah, there's a lot of things we don't have today, but we are here. It is so good to see your faces. I love when we come through when we have snowstorms and we still show up. When we have crazy stuff that's going on in the world and we have to sit far apart, we still show up. I love you people. You were not given a bulletin when you walked in, but there is a bulletin for any of you that like just have a desire to have a bulletin. There are some. I printed a few for you and they're in the back. So please, somebody take one home. There is some information in there that you would just love to read. Oh, thank you, Robin. She's getting coffee. She's not getting a bulletin. All right, how my life. My hard work is for naught. Okay. I do want to bring your attention to a cleanup day we have coming up on March 28th. This is our annual, well, I think we do it twice a year, our biannual get together. We have several projects. We're planting a tree this year. We've got some other projects around the property that we are doing, and we're just kind of doing a nice little spring clean, a spring spruce, to prepare for Easter and just for the rest of the year. Jeff has said, we are actually providing you lunch. Last week I told you you had to bring your own in a potluck. But he said, no, we're going to give you guys lunch because you're just that hard of workers. Yeah. If you want to bring something to add to the lunch, that's, of course, welcome. But we will be providing lunch. We'll start at 9 o'clock with some good hard work, and then we will celebrate together with lunch afterwards. So that's my only announcement for today, but I did want to draw your attention to our memory verse. I hope everybody is working on that. We're doing Psalm 23 in the front of your chairs, except for you people right up here. The verses are... there's verse cards in front of you if you want to grab one of those. If you haven't memorized it, we're first going to start off Psalm 23, verse 1. So everyone with me together is going to recite or read beginning at verse 1. Psalm 23, 1 through 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Not read without trying. Okay, so today's verse is verse 5, and we will show that to you. There's the little blanks for you to fill in. So let's read it together, and then we'll quiz you.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
All right, now let's take away some words. Have you got it? Let's try it again.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Very good. Now, Jeff.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
It looks kind of strange in here. Welcome to you watching on Facebook Live, and as Susan mentioned, we apologize that you may or may not be able to hear us well because the sound system was not working this morning. So, facing all kinds of opposition, we continue to meet together and worship together. We're going to continue in our series on Be Brave, but I just want to open up with some prayer. And many of you may have saw that our president called for a day of prayer today.
Amen.
So we want to join in that and encourage you to do that throughout this day. But let's pray while we're together here. So, Lord, we come together with so many around this nation to pray for our times. God, I pray, first of all the fear that we've been learning about that's now just swirling around us and around those in this community and in this country and around the world. We just pray, God, that you would speak your peace into the hearts of so many right now. God, I pray, first of all, that you would help your church, that you would help those who love and know and follow Jesus Christ to be a light and a peace to those around them, and they would experience your peace. Lord, we pray for those who are sick from this virus and many other things right now. We pray for your healing touch on them and just strength for those who are caring for them as well, encouragement to them, God. I pray, Lord, that you would use this time to bring your light and your love to so many people who are looking for answers right now and looking for hope. And God, would you help us in our own anxieties and fears about this to come to you and be strengthened by you and be able to be your vessels to bring that hope to others as well, Lord. And so now as we approach your word and as we look at the fear of the Lord and what that really means, God, would you open up, would you help by your Holy Spirit for us to understand the true meaning of what it is to walk in the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'll try to speak up, but my voice might get a little tired as we get through this. What do you need? A little adjustment there. All right. Little mic adjustment there. So I just want to say thank you to, you know, we've been talking about all these different fears through the last couple months. And one of the fears I shared of mine is a fear of mice, if you remember. And I just want to thank whoever hid a fake mouse in my paperwork on my desk. And I'm sure you're hoping I'm going to tell you the story of how I went screaming out of the office when I saw that. Like a what?
Little girl.
Little girls are brave, Susan. No, I didn't do that. I grabbed a broom and I smashed that thing to smithereens because I'm facing my fears. Why am I looking at Seth while I say this? No, just kidding. It's still on my desk, and so I'm just working from home. And if you could remove it as soon as possible, that'd be good so I can get back to work. Seriously.
Are you sure it's fake?
Yeah, I am, because I beat it with a broom, and it didn't die. Okay, so we're wrapping up our Be Brave series this morning. Doesn't mean we're going to stop being brave, but we want to end with the fear of the Lord, which I think is a confusing topic for Christians. It's been confusing for me, and even in my study preparing for this message, it's been really fascinating to really dig into the Word of God and all the different references to the fear of the Lord and what it means, and to discover that it's some things that I didn't know it was, and it's not some things that I thought it was. So let's dive into that. So first of all, let's talk about what the fear of the Lord is not, okay? The fear of the Lord is not waiting for a lightning bolt to strike you down. It's not. Now, let me explain reverence and respect, which is what I was taught and what I was understood of the fear of the Lord for many years, is to fear God, is to have reverence for him. And this can even kind of be a coping mechanism that we have in walking in the New Testament and how we have this new relationship with God, and we know God as this loving Father, and yet throughout Scripture we're commanded, encouraged to fear the Lord, to fear God. And so we have to do something with that. And what happens sometimes is we need to fill that command, and so we think that reverencing God is going to fill that. The problem with that is reverence and respect don't always move us towards action. And as we're going to learn this morning, the fear of the Lord has a lot to do with action. Like there's things that happen, there's fruits that come out of that. People can reverence and respect God and reject Jesus. So there's a deeper meaning to that. Should we have reverence and respect for God? Absolutely. Don't hear me saying that you shouldn't have reverence. But it's kind of a get out of jail free card type thing to just play, oh yeah, I have reverence. That means respect or reverence for God. And I totally understood fear of the Lord to be like that. So that I understand that you can go there with that. When I was really young, before even giving my life to Christ, I had this understanding of God. And I had a reverence and a respect and a fear, a type of fear for God, but I continued in my sin. And so it just caused me to continue to live with this fear of a lightning bolt striking me. But I continued in my life with no change, no action towards righteousness. Another thing that it's not is just another fear on our list of fears. So we live in a world where we're surrounded by fears all over us. I mean, I think everyone's highly aware of that right now in this time. We're afraid of all kinds of things. And so when we hear God command us to fear him, we put it in the list and say, well, this is another type of fear. And it just fits in that list of fears along with all the other ones. But this one's a good one. We're supposed to have this one. And maybe that stress and anxiety of the fear of the God is going to cause something good to come out of it. And so we think of it in the same category. And that's not what I find Scripture to reveal. Thirdly, that it's Old Testament. And some of us might land in the place of thinking, because of Jesus Christ, because of his work on the cross and this restoration of relationship that we have, the fear of the Lord, and many times you'll see it in the Old Testament, and you don't see it referred to as much in the New Testament, then we can conclude that's Old Testament. We feared God before because we didn't have Jesus as our atoning sacrifice, and now we can approach him. And I want to challenge that thinking if you're in that place too. We're going to look at some scriptures this morning to challenge the fact that this isn't something you want to try and get out of or explain away. It's actually something you want to run towards with everything, because there's so much fruit that's going to come out of obeying this commandment. And we're going to kind of talk about it as a kingdom concept, this idea of walking in the fear of the Lord. Okay, so those are some things that I do not believe walking in the fear of the Lord mean. So, what does walking in the fear of the Lord really mean? Let's start with this, the beginning of wisdom. So I'm gonna read these. I'm gonna step out of view there for a second on Facebook. We're going to stick mostly in Proverbs. We'll have a few verses that we jump out of it, but we're mainly going to take the book of Proverbs and the wisdom ratings, and it has a lot to say about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay, so the beginning of knowledge, it's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Okay, so this is starting to reveal some things about where the source of wisdom comes, and it has something to do with the fear of the Lord. Now look at this. Here's where I'm talking about action, okay? Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, I want you to notice all the actions that are tied to a fear of the Lord. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So you can see there's a lot of action that comes along with the fear of the Lord. And when we talk about the beginning of wisdom, we know that moving towards the fear of the Lord, whatever it is, we're getting to that, we're trying to establish what that is going to be the beginning of wisdom, which means you can't have wisdom without a fear of the Lord. If you ignore this kingdom concept, if you don't lean into it, you're not going to get wisdom, not God's wisdom. You might get some intellect from the world, you might get some street smarts, but you're not going to have that wisdom that heavenly wisdom from God if you ignore the fear of the Lord. So we know it's the beginning of wisdom. What else do we know? Okay, we're going to look at two others. Second one is to hate and flee from evil. Now that's some heavy words there. You're supposed to hate evil. I think in our culture that can get a little sticky, a little difficult for us because we want to know how to love. It's popular to love God. It's popular to love people. But to hate evil and to flee from it actually requires some changes in our life. And it requires us to walk with God in how we love people while hating evil. Is that possible? To completely hate evil and completely love people? Yes. God does it with us. He hates the evil in your life. He hates the evil in my life. But he loves us completely and fully. So we can learn from him what that looks like. Let's look at some verses. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance and the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. So the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. There's a good definition right there. I mean, that's pretty clear. Proverbs 16 says, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Okay, so there's a hatred of evil, and it's by the fear of the Lord that you actually turn from evil. So that's a really important concept. Just a thought. You can consider, you know, kind of using what's going on right now in the world with the avoidance of viruses. How has that changed your life and your habits? I find myself opening doors with, you know, my elbow or, you know, pushing the top of the door to open it when I go into public places or, you know, using hand sanitizer, which I don't usually like using, washing my hands way more than I used to. You know, these types of things are changes, and we're changing the way we're sitting in here today. There's this avoidance, this fleeing from a virus that has motivated the world. And so it's made me think, you know, as I'm studying the fear of the Lord and that the fear of the Lord is to hate and flee from evil, it makes me ask the question, do I act that way about the evil in my life that I can identify? The things that I may participate in or may think about, do I flee from them with that much effort? Or do I actually fear something of physical nature more than I do my spiritual health? So it's a challenging thing. It's a challenge to us in our culture to think about how are we going to flee from evil. I think in our culture, another problem with that is we tend to have a pretty cavalier approach to sin and evil. We like to get as close to the line as we can. And I'm speaking to us as Christians. We like to ride in the gray area. And most of our questions sometimes can be, well, what is okay to do? Instead of asking ourselves, how can I get closer and closer to God and further away from evil? We might know that paying our taxes is the law, but that money under the table isn't that big of a deal. So we play with it. I know I'm supposed to remain pure in my relationship with my boyfriend or girlfriend, and yet, you know, it's fun to kind of ride the line and see how close you can get to that. I know I'm supposed to keep my eyes from evil, but my favorite show has some really bad stuff in it, and I kind of like watching that. But there's some good things in there too. Just throwing out a few that maybe some of us can relate to. That's not the fear of the Lord. Understanding, however, that on our third point, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So those things, it's the beginning of wisdom, and it means to hate and flee from evil. But where are you fleeing to? Are you just running from evil and you're just running all around? Ah, that's bad, that's evil. And no, it draws you closer to God. And God's motivation in that is come to me and run from those things, because in me you will be safe. I mean, that's the psalm that we're memorizing right now. It's the truth of who he is. So we can see a fountain of life. Here's some of the fruit that comes from walking in that. Okay, so it's not motivated by this religious sense of I'm going to get zapped if I don't stop doing this sin. Because it generally doesn't bring change in our lives to approach it that way. But look at some of the fruits. I'm going to stand over here so this mic can pick me up. In the fear of the Lord, this is Proverbs 14. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Proverbs 22, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Mm-hmm. See the goodness that comes out of the fear of the Lord? It's not just trembling in sin. So now you can start to see, as we get into this a little deeper, for me in that young place that I was in, to say, I fear God. He's going to strike me down, whether it's now or after I die, because I know I'm living in sin. But there's no moving towards him and allowing him to help me out of that lifestyle of sin. That's not the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is actually to run towards God and away from those things. And I'm going to talk in a little bit about the fact that it's not just that easy, right? To just say, oh, I just need to stop sinning and flee from it and run to God. There's a process in that God walks us through. Look at this one. Psalm. Now let's go to the Psalms. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So there's all this blessing. Wealth in whatever form that might look like. It talks about the generations several times, and the generations that follow a man or a woman who fear the Lord and walk in the fear of the Lord. So what about the New Testament? What does the New Testament have to say about this? Well, Luke wrote in Acts chapter 9, and he kind of gives, here, let me back up a sec so you guys don't read ahead. Luke, if you notice it when you read Acts, he'll take these moments to give just a few sentence report on the church as the church was forming and growing. And he'll say, and they all shared all their things and lived in harmony, or and the church grew and multiplied and enjoyed a season of peace, which we're going to look at now. But he gives these reports. Oftentimes those reports were directly following a great trial. That the culture was going through, or specifically the church was going through a tribulation or a persecution, and then there'd be this season of blessing and growth, almost like the pruning of a tree, and then it bore even more fruit after that. So we get this verse, Acts 9. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. That's a beautiful verse to speak to us as believers, New Testament believers, this new restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that we can live in both the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the fear of the Lord, and it brings blessing in our lives. I want to share a little bit of a story with you guys about just recently my experience of walking in the fear of the Lord. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a training right here in this room. And the training was, some of that training was for helping people who are in recovery from addictions keeping them from relapsing. So it was like a relapse prevention training. But really what it was, and what it was for us who went to that, to learn about that, was understanding how we get stuck in these patterns of sin in our lives. And really what's feeding that, what we're looking for in that, the lies that we're believing in that, and how to break free of those things. And to be willing to move in that direction in your life is a definition of walking in the fear of the Lord. Because when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you identify the areas where you're not aligned with God and his righteousness. And then you run to him, not off to go fix everything and try to come back to him, because you will fail at that. But you run to him with those things and you actually say, God, I want to be free of these things. Will you walk with me? And then the way he does that is in community. If you're avoiding community, you will not change. I say that after 20 years of observing the church, in being in ministry in the church, walking with Christians in the church. When you avoid community, you do not change. You stay stuck in those areas. So I went to this thing, and one of our assignments in going to this training, and it was 40 hours of training, was to bring a presenting issue, a place where you're stuck. Okay, so it's not the idea that, oh, this is, I can learn this because it's for other people. It's, we all need freedom from areas where we're stuck in our lives. And so I had areas where I was stuck. And so about day two in the morning, God really started to get into the area that I was stuck in. And the area where I was stuck was in this stress or anxiety or lack of confidence in the roles that God had called me to in my life. So I had a substance that I would turn to for that. And you guys aren't going to like me for this. It's coffee. Okay, so I'm not standing up here condemning coffee. And it's everybody's journey, right, as far as why they drink coffee. This is about my story right now and what I'm telling you. So don't go to guilt there. However, if the Holy Spirit wants to convict you, I'm totally cool with that. So I was turning to coffee because it wasn't because I love the taste of coffee. You know, I don't know if you've seen the open season scene where the deer starts drinking coffee and hates it at first and then loves it within like 30 seconds. But that was kind of how I started drinking coffee way back when, was to keep me awake when I was driving trucks. So it was kind of a life-saving type mechanism. Instead of turning to getting better sleep, eating well, exercising, and doing the natural things that give me energy. But here's the big problem. I was turning to coffee because I would have an intense counseling meeting I'd have to do. And I just didn't think I'd have the mental clarity or the energy or the good mood to be able to face those meetings. If I had, just mainly with meetings, if I'd wake up in the morning and I just would tell myself, I cannot get going this morning without coffee. After having a few years now of having coffee every morning, I just was convinced I need this to get going. But then it started to get to the point more recently where the afternoon, I couldn't make it through the afternoon now, because then I'd crash from the coffee I had in the morning. And so I just need a cup to get me through, you know, until it's time to go to bed. But I was convinced that I needed that. I really needed that. And the deeper lying issue that I was able to dig into over this time was my lack of confidence in who I was. I did not believe that God had put in me what was needed for the situations he would call me to in my life. I didn't believe I had it. And so that substance was giving me this sense of everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you have a cup of coffee and hey, the day is brighter. And I thought there's no way to experience that without it. And so that second morning of this 4-day conference, I just felt like, I mean, after seeing the reality of this and digging into the scriptures through this training, it just felt ridiculous for me to turn to coffee for the rest of this training time. And we have a partner. So the people came from all over different states to this, and you have to partner with someone you don't know. And we walk through this together and listen to the Lord together and pray for each other. And so I was like, I'm done. At least for now, until I can get to a place where I'm not drinking that coffee to hide. And what was the false belief for me? It was that I'm not enough. I don't have enough in me. I don't have the personality that it takes to do the things that I do in my role. And so I would turn to it. And so praying through that identification, I'm condensing, and I hope to unpack more of that experience, you know, in time to come. But that experience over those 40 hours in that training and even the homework assignments that we had brought me to that place of revealing that deeper lying self-belief that I had. What was amazing was the next day or two of the training with no coffee, I didn't get a headache, which I thought I would get, and which I have got when I've kind of just cold turkey quit for a week or so. But I was tired. Anytime the instructors would have a time of leading us in prayer, I would fall asleep. But that's okay. You know, I'd kind of snap out of it. And it's like, it's okay. This is for the, I'm going to continue to believe that that's going to go away and I can actually have energy without coffee. And by the end of the training, by the last day, I was feeling better. I wasn't getting so tired in the afternoons. And then the week following, so that would have been not last week, but the week before, I think. Totally like I'd been drinking coffee all day long without getting tired and needing another cup of coffee. Like there was energy being produced in me and I didn't know where it was coming from because I wasn't turning to coffee for that. So that was amazing. And so this is the first message I've given sober for years, okay? So I had some chamomile tea this morning. So I present that to you because that, you know, for some of you, that's like, oh man, that sounds really tough. For some of you, that's like, that's not a big deal. I've got to face this other thing that feels really big. Wherever you're at on that scale, for me, I was terrified. Terrified. Now, that's the fear of the Lord. Because the terrified part, why I was feeling terrified is because I was making a choice in that day and a half, that first day and a half, to give that to God. When you've been relying on something for your comfort and for coping and for feeding that and silencing that fear and that false belief, it's scary to come to a place where you're like, God, I'm laying this down. I'm coming towards you with this. And I had a community around me. I had my partner walking through that with me. I've shared this with some of my close friends, that this is where I'm at and this is what God's doing in my life. But that's a fear that drew me closer to God, because then it was like, okay, God, I don't have this to turn to, but I'm facing this today. Would you be my energy and my strength? And I'm trusting that you've put in me what I need for this person, for this situation, for this time. And it's been amazing. Like, I'll be in the mid-afternoon going, why do I have so much energy right now? And it's because my body's not going like this with the caffeine stuff. So that was just a recent walk in that, but that's the challenge. And that's what I think it'd be worthwhile for us to spend some time in prayer. And this is not a time of prayer that's just going to break the thing for you, but it might surface it and it might give you an opportunity. You might have God inviting you. Are you willing to step into the fear of the Lord with this thing? Now, I don't know about you, but for me, if it would have been 2 weeks ago before this happened and a pastor was saying that to me in service, I know that's one of the things that would be right on the forefront of my mind the whole time he's telling a story. Even if it was a different thing, I'd be like, yeah, I know. God's, because I'd convince myself, no, it's just, everyone drinks coffee here. This is Washington, you know. It's not a big deal. And I'm just like everybody else, you know. We enjoy it. And I'd explain it away. But for me, I knew that there was something deeper there. And I knew it wasn't right. But I wasn't walking in the fear of the Lord in it. So I don't know what it might be for you, but let's just go before the Lord on that. So Lord, I thank you first straight up just for freeing me from needing coffee, needing some other substance to kind of mask those areas where I really needed to be coming to you. And I thank you, God, for surfacing the fears that were driving that behavior. And I could bring those to you, God, instead of avoiding it for all these years. And you've given me freedom and healing in that. And so, Lord, I just pray right now over everyone here, everyone listening. God, would you show each person, each one of us, an area that we may be going to avoid fear? Just invite you to speak by your Holy Spirit. Just surface that right now. Even if it's scary, just let the Lord bring it up right now. And so, Lord, we just pray as well. Just silence the enemy right now and his lies and all the ways that he has crafted specific lies for every individual here around that behavior or even just around those attitudes or false beliefs. We bind him in Jesus' name. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal now what is the lie that the enemy has been speaking. So listen to him for you individually. What lie has he been speaking? What lie have you been believing around that behavior, around that place where you feel stuck? Lord, we take that false belief. For me, God, it was that I didn't have what was needed for the situation without something to help, some substance, that you wouldn't be enough in me by your Holy Spirit. That's a lie. And so whatever the lie is, maybe that he's revealed to you, or brought up, just what's the truth? Think about what the truth is. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reveal the truth in those situations. Reveal the truth to us, to counter the lie. And so breaking that lie looks like an example is, and you bring yours to him and do this. But it's important to speak it. For me, it's Lord, I don't believe that I have what's needed for the situation without you. And so the truth is, God, you are enough in me. And whatever you call me to, whatever you call me to, I will be sufficient, the power that you give me. And so I just declare that against the lie. And I declare as a testimony that I've seen that functioning in my life powerfully. And I thank you for that. And so for you, breaking that lie, just pray that to him and break that lie. Oops, don't break the music stand. But just break that lie Speak that lie. Renounce it. Speak the truth. Lord, I just thank you for the freedom that we can have. And I thank you that in that process, God, you have put us in community with each other. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue to move forward in just with everything going on around us right now and the disruptions to our lives and so many who are stressed right now about just the changes and just facing difficult things. I pray, Lord, that you would help us face our fears. And in doing that, we're walking in the fear of the Lord. Help us to do that, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So concluding this series, really what it boils down to is identifying our fears, which we've given several weeks to be talking about different fears, and maybe certain ones hit you more than others, and some are like, yeah, I don't really struggle with that. But taking note of those fears, asking God, how do I move towards that fear to face it, defeat it, and move forward in righteousness, overcoming it? So that kind of sums up like my journey, even just with the coffee thing. What was the fear? I'm not gonna have what I need for whatever I'm facing. Identifying that and then being willing to move towards it instead of putting it off, which I did for years, which was, yeah, it's not really a problem, and this is, you know, I explaining it away, but being willing to move towards it, that's where the good fear rises up, okay? The fear of the Lord rises up, moving towards it, and then walking with God and in community to see that broken. And so that's where I wanted to say what I mentioned earlier. If you're not willing to walk in community, you're not going to see change. That's what I'm talking about. If you're staying isolated and not connecting at a deeper level with others, coming to church doesn't count, actually. This is great. This is absolutely a critical part of our walk with God. But you can come to church and not connect with anybody. You can do it. I mean, it's hard here at Adventure because someone's going to go after you because we're a close-knit community. But you can check that box. You can check the box of I went to church, I worshiped, I listened to a message, and not change in your life, because the change happens as we walk it out with each other. So women's ministry is great at this, breaking into smaller groups. There's some Bible studies available. The guys, we had pizza the other night. We made pizza. We set off the fire alarm. I think we started a fire in the oven. Kirk made these amazing cinnamon rolls that we need to start making and selling. Oh, we can't do that legally, so I forgot we're online here. So we're not going to do that. But that's fellowship and relationship, but then getting to that next level of sharing what's going on in your hearts, you know? Me having a few guys that I'm closer to that I can say, hey guys, this is what I'm facing. Like I'm tired of this thing that I'm stuck in, and I believe God can free me from it. And there's a journey you can take to find freedom. There's lots of resources, materials, things I can suggest and help you with. If you feel like, yeah, I'm kind of on my own right now, and I'd like to connect at a deeper level with another couple of guys or a couple of gals in a deeper fellowship. Come talk to me. Just reach out to me, and I can help you make that happen. But that's where the change comes, and that's walking in the fear of the Lord. That's running from and hating evil. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's going to be a fountain of life for you. It has totally been a fountain of life for me just in that one area where I was stuck. So just encourage you guys to take what we've talked about in this fear of the Lord in this fear series. Yeah, hold on a sec, Kurt. And actually move forward, because the thing that I felt like God was speaking about doing this series back in November, December, when he said to do this series. And he probably foresaw everything that we were going to be in the middle of. I mean, look at this. We're on our final message, and we've got 6-foot spacing and all this. He knew what was coming. But the idea and the key word was action, that God was speaking to me in my heart. And that's going to affect the series that we have coming after the Easter series that I'm going to wait to talk about. But it's going to be about action. It's going to be about stepping forward into some of the stuff I'm talking about, and seeing change. So in order to see change, you're going to have to face some fears. So I think it's good that we spent this time. Yeah, Kurt?
Just while we're here with the mighty men and women of God, it'd be nice to pray together as a response to, you know, a day of prayer. Mm-hmm. Let's pray out loud together for the nation, for the church.
Sure.
To speak to our fear, to mm-hmm. build my faith with other people around me when they pray.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do that?
Yeah. So, yes, we can all pray together out loud. You mentioned several different things there. We can take part in the day of prayer. So Kirk, if you can't hear that, is suggesting that we just pray out together as a part of the National Day of Prayer. But I would add to that kind of what Kirk was saying too, is in that as well, pray out. If there are fears that are popping up, just even during this message time, giving those over to God, speaking the truth. So we're going to just take a minute here to just pray out together. And so that's... some people call that Korean style, because maybe that's how they pray in Korea sometimes. But let's just all lift our voices together as we close this morning. So yes, Lord, we just thank you so much. I thank you for what you are doing, even as a light through Adventure Church. And I pray that you would continue to do that, God. I pray that you would continue to be a light through us, Jesus. I thank you so much, Lord, that you are with us in this time. I thank you for Psalm 23 and the reminder that you are an ever-present help all the time, Lord. You are with us. And so we pray that we would feel your presence. We would feel you with us, God. God, I pray that you would continue to give wisdom to our leaders in this nation as well, to President Trump and to even just the leaders in our state, that you would give them wisdom and understanding in how to proceed, Lord. Thank you for the work that you are doing in our fellowship as we decide to face our fears. And I pray that you would give us breakthrough and victory, that we would be able to stand strong and be able to lead others to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna worship with one more song. Coming up next, we're going to start our series that will take us up through Easter. And we're going to be looking at some of the key events that happened in that Holy Week leading up to his crucifixion, resurrection, and even the ascension. And so it's going to be taking some space, not just, pause for one Sunday and talk about how Jesus rose from the dead, but taking some space to go deeper into the meaning of those events culturally, but also how they affect us in our lives. And then we'll move on to the next series after that. But stay in touch. We'll be sending out updates. Things are changing pretty rapidly. We don't know what next Sunday will look like as far as how we do community, but we will do community in some way. It might look like this. It might look like small groups. I don't know. Be praying about that. Pray for the elders that we would have wisdom in how we as Adventure are supposed to do community as we move forward. So thanks for being here.
Stories of what they think. undeniable. I can hardly speak. He's so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still.
As you go forth this week, be brave and walk into all that God has for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.